Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's welcome aboard Clark Kellogg right now. CBS Sports Westwood One's Clark Kellogg to talk about NCAA March Madness. Clark's appearances throughout the tournament are brought to you by Werner, the official ladder of NCAA March Madness and the official ladder of professional contractors everywhere. Werner, number one in ladders. Clark, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Hey, glad to join you guys, man. What a good day yesterday. Had a little bit of everything that we expect to see in March Madness, and I anticipate much the same today.
Yeah, it really was. Let's start with Buffalo. That's the stunner. Not the fact that necessarily they won the game, because Miller's teams always seem to underperform in the postseason at Arizona, Clark. But the style and fashion in which they did it, literally, you saw the bow break for Arizona, and they gave you little to no pushback.
No pushback at all, and they couldn't guard them. I mean, I knew Buffalo, and I think everybody that's watched them knew how good they were offensively. I mean, this team averages 85 points a game. They got four guys that score between 15 and 17, and I watched them three times. Really, really liked them until I saw the matchup on the bracket and felt that they would push Arizona but not be able to get over the hump. Not only did they push them, they dominated. I mean, they had nine turnovers in the first half and
led by two, 40 to 38.
Nine turnovers. And then they had one turnover in the second half and blitzkrieged them. And you heard their coach, if you were watching the game, talk about it at halftime. He was like, we should be up double digits, but we turned the ball over. And when they didn't, he was right, because Arizona had no answers. I mean, they spread them out, drove them, made threes, got all the loose balls. And you're right, at the latter quarter of that game, it seemed as though Arizona just conceded a bit. And that can happen when a team is aggressive, confident, playing at a high level. And these Bulls don't think they're done. And I tell you, I think Kentucky will match up much better in terms of being able to defend them. But that's a high-octane offensive team playing with a lot of confidence. And that's going to be one heck of a matchup, I think, when they get after it tomorrow.
Yeah, there's no doubt, Clark, the Bulls coming in with a plethora of confidence right now, and they're going to try to ride that momentum. Let's shift gears for a second, Clark. How about that drama, man, that amazing buzzer beater, man, by Loyola Chicago, Ingram, man. How awesome was that? Talk about it, bro.
Yeah, I mean, that was tremendous. And it was a tight game throughout, and a lot of folks had seen Loyola and knew how good that team was. I mean, they share the ball. They've got multiple shooters. They space it. Just play a really solid, entertaining brand, even though fairly low scoring in that one yesterday. But buzzer beaters are buzzer beaters. I mean, the fact that they had a timeout, didn't use it, played just flow into whatever we can get, and got a three-point shot for a trailer and for their best three-point shooter in Ingram, and he didn't hesitate, sprayed it, and that was the difference. Man, that was
unbelievable.
That's the kind of drama that you expect this time of year.
Yeah, and two other memorable ones from the first Thursday. How about the Rhode Island victory for Danny Hurley and that Ram team beating Trae Young in Oklahoma in OT?
Well, in many ways, that set the tone for the day, and you saw that matchup on paper, and you're thinking this could be really fun to watch. One, Trae is a special player and dynamic and had an outstanding game. As has been the case the last half of the season, the complimentary players, his teammates, didn't come through quite to the level that they had when Oklahoma was rolling. They got quality shots that they weren't able to knock down. But give credit to Rhode Island. I mean, that's a gritty, small ball team. And E.C. Matthews and Fats Russell carried them in that second half. I think they made a combined seven threes in that second half. I don't know if those two guys made them all, but they made the bulk of those seven threes that Rhode Island made. But they took care of the ball, which has been their MO all year, because they play four or five guards. So they typically don't turn it over. And then when they get the three ball going, they're hard to deal with. No, that was a great, great game to watch. And I don't think Oklahoma played poorly. I think they played pretty well, quite
they
honestly.
Did.
I think both teams played at a pretty good level. A
couple questionable shots by Young. Shot selection.
Yeah, no question.
I mean, toward the tail end of that game.
He was trying to put the capper on it. Probably if he could do it over, he might look to try to drive those because they were having some success. One of those goes down, then they push it to a 4-point lead. It's a different dynamic for Rhode Island, but the fact that those kind of shots don't put pressure on the defense like driving it does. So I would think he'd probably take different approaches if he had those couple of possessions over again.
And he might not. I mean, he might be going right to the NBA. It might be done for him at Oklahoma, as he said after the game. Hasn't made any decision as of yet. We'll see what that decision is. Final one on yesterday, Clark. And Taz and I discussed it earlier. I thought it was one of the more entertaining games. It didn't have the buzzer beater, I get it. But in terms of shot making, Alabama Va-Tech was a hell of a watch.
That was a
very, very entertaining basketball game yesterday.
No doubt. It didn't seem like anybody was either going to play or could play tough defense because both teams were so on top of it offensively. But you're right. Back and forth they went, and Sexton took over in the second half. Petty was terrific throughout the game, making threes. Va-Tech, that's pretty much how they play. And so you're right, that was, in terms of entertainment value, that was one that you couldn't be too displeased about in terms of how the kids played and made shots.
So Clark, give us a prediction, man. Who do you think today can be the next Buffalo Bulls and pull off that?
A couple of teams. You know, we only had, two double-digit seeds advance, and I think those were the only two lower seeds that won, I think. But anyway, looking at today, you know, this Marshall-Wichita State game is very intriguing to me because Marshall is really good at playing a freestyle, wide-open game, shooting threes. And John Elmore is one of the best guards in the country in terms of scoring, assisting, rebounding. I think he's averaging 23, 6, and 7. So this kid can really play. Wichita State, not as stingy defensively as they've been, but they're a little better offensively. So I think this game could have a real up and down feel, and when you shoot the three like Marshall does, you get hot with that thing. You could maybe surprise some folks. Bucknell is an interesting team to me. They've got a tough matchup, but we thought Buffalo had a tough matchup with Arizona. I think Bucknell is a team that can match up pretty well with an outstanding.
I told Moose earlier, I got a feeling you were going to say that because you and I were talking up the Bison a little bit.
No, but I do like that team. I think Michigan State has the edge, and I think Wichita State inside with Shaq Morris and Willis may be too much.
The
three-point shot is a great equalizer. And then you look at Butler, Arkansas, I think that should be a terrific matchup. And the other one that I would circle probably is the Murray State-West Virginia game. West Virginia wants to turn you over. Murray State has pretty good ball-handling guards and shooters, and when you open that floor up, if you can handle the pressure, you're going to get quality shots, and that's going to be something to keep an eye on. That Murray State team's got a couple of guys that can really go, and West Virginia forces you to make basketball plays, and that might play into the racers' hands a bit.
Styles make fights, Clark, especially when you look at these matchups, especially underdogs against favorites. How about Charleston? They came back in their championship game in their conference. They've got two or three guys on that team that can play.
They got three that average about 55 points a game. Yeah. Really? And Chile are in the backcourt.
Right.
And then Brantley's up front. He's kind of an undersized forward that can step out and shoot it. They drive you. That, too, is one to keep an eye on. Then the other one I will say is New Mexico State.
Okay.
That's a team that I think it's a comfortable matchup. Clemson has really good guard play, so that'll be intriguing. But New Mexico State has a guy in Zach Lofton who possibly could do a Rob Gray on him. You know, he could go for 30-plus. And this kid, Jamario Jones, man, he's special as a rebounder and do everything except really shoot it. But he's a double-double guy, undersized, but really high motor and active, impacts winning. I think that's going to be a fun game to watch, that New Mexico State Clemson game.
We're talking to Clark Kellogg. Westwood One, CBS Sports is a fantastic job. College hoops analyst Taz and the Moose with you, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern time here, CBS Sports Radio. Clark, what about, we can't ask you without asking about the orange, right? I mean, I got to be a little bit of a homer here, right?
No. And you know what? I've got my eye on that zone, man.
Yeah, how about they struggle offensively? What about the familiarity? They know Jamie – Boeheim knows Dixon well. What about Syracuse TCU?
Yeah, you know what? That's Syracuse is still alive. They did it with defense. They struggled all season to consistently score offensively. But they're three guys who do the bulk of the scoring. Battle and Howard and Brissett, they're dangerous. I mean, they're streaky, but they're dangerous. And that zone is problematic because of the length of the orange. They've got size at just about every position, which makes it tough. I love TCU's offense. They execute, shoot it. But I'm leaning towards Syracuse being able to muck it up enough and then find enough offense to
– There you go.
You're making Moose happy.
There you go, Clark. You just put a smile on my face.
That's
Clark,
awesome.
You know, after picking Arizona, if for anyone who had Arizona going deep in their tournament, last night was a long night, Clark.
Well, I mean, it is what it is, man. The brackets are the brackets. March Madness is March Madness, and I know there are a bunch of dejected folks, including one of my colleagues at the desk, Charles Bark. Chuck was just really lamenting the fact that for 8 years in a row he's rode the Arizona Wildcats, and the ride has been far too short for him.
Hey, we want to thank you, man, because, Clark, you were nice enough. And Mikey, our producer, set you up with the bracket, and you joined our bracket challenge. So thanks for doing that, man. It's an honor to have you.
Yeah, all good fun, man. No problem. Glad
thank
to
you,
be
man.
Part
appreciate
of
it.
Had an average day, but I don't worry about it. I love watching the game, and it's fun to see how your picks end up playing out. And a lot of times it comes down to one or two plays, and that's the drama that makes March Madness so special.
Well, hey, listen, Clark, we appreciate the time this morning. We really do. And have a good broadcast throughout the day today, all right?
Yep, looking forward to it. All right, Taz, Moose, take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.